enables that movement of yang qi to become wei qi at du four, at Mingmen and at du 14, and the function of the involvement of the heart is that any movement that is made with the musculature, which is informed by wei qi, is in turn informed by the qi of the heart, which contains the seeds of destiny.
I'm Michael Max, and this is Geological. While out for a hike in the foothills of the Front Range of the Colorado Rockies, we came across two groups of gray-haired women having some kind of an argument. All I caught were the remarks of a woman wearing a white t-shirt with a rainbow on it, clearly angry, spitting out the words, "Well, we are all one," with the vitriol of "screw you." It caught me by surprise, and beyond the obvious passive-aggressive anger, I was curious about the statement of unity being used to create separation and distance. It's clear there is a truth to "we are all one" in a sense, and there's the truth of "namaste, bitch, you're not one of us." As is generally the case, the opposite of a great truth is not falseness, but another great truth, and this in turn bubbled up something I've been chewing on since I recently took a class on qi, blood, and fluids. Yeah, my mind wanders in odd directions. In that class, we were talking about the human body as a unified system, but with significant divisions and distinctions. That there is not just interior and exterior, biaoli, as we like to talk about it in Chinese medicine, but multiple places where we can understand something to be on the inside or something to be on the outside. And what's more, there is some kind of boundary that both acts to separate and communicate those differences. The boundaries at the edges, there you'll find the aggressive and the rough wei qi. Its job is to build and maintain that boundary that protects the inside from the outside. It cuts, divides, maintains a division of what's us and what's not. You could think of it as a military, or a cell membrane, or a set of rules. It's the bouncer that only lets the right people into the club. It's the attitudes we carry that divide us from them. And we all have our ways of discerning us and them. Even if your job has you working in the Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, it is the nature of having an inside and outside to have a function that separates the two. And then there are the functions on the inside, how we harmonize the we, how we lean on the similarity that makes for an us. This is more the function of nutritive yin qi, that which provides the resources and shares the resources, which supports the collective. It's the cohesive qi that binds together, not to create division, but instead support cohesion and unity. This is where it gets tricky, as we are made up of multiple systems, all looking to promote their own agenda. Joseph Campbell, the great mythologist, says that myth comes from the internal organs' strife and conflict with each other. The Ministry of Grains needs to kowtow to the Minister of Fluids, and the General of the Bloody Liver is often enough in conflict with the authority housed in the lung that's in charge of distributing qi. It's easy to imagine an image of the various officials and ministers of the organs working harmoniously, but take a look at the outside reality, and this shows us the truth of the competition that naturally arises at the boundary of any biaoli relationship. The fundamentals are basic and seemingly simple, but more often than not, there's an underlying complexity once we begin to take a look. I recently got to thinking about wei qi, especially as we're moving into the dark of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere, and I realize that I am often enough party to discussions about wei qi and how we should attend to it or nourish it, but I don't have that many coherent strategies for actually doing that. What's more, the commonly used formulas that are famous for stabilizing or strengthening the exterior, in my experience, are of limited general use. In this conversation with Anne Cecil Sturman, Lori Ayers, and Mr. Zhongxian Wu, we bring together the perspectives of an acupuncturist, an herbalist, and a Qigong practitioner. The intention here is to see how experienced clinicians from these three disciplines within East Asian medicine consider the Wei Qi and its use in clinical work. These geological conversations come to you through the generous support of our sponsors and members. All the sponsors here provide helpful products or services that you'll find beneficial in your clinical work. Love the healing power of Moxa, but not the smoke? Lhasa OMS has a bit of magic to share with you. I'm a hands-on guy, but I've found that clinic management is actually best done with software, and Jane makes it super easy to get on board. Do you love learning herbs? Golden Flower Chinese Herbs has a fantastic collection of herbal monographs that will expand your knowledge and your skill. And later in the show, listen for some unique opportunities from Anne Cecil Sturman's Classic Medicine Academy, and the folks at Blue Poppy share their amazing teishin needles and other Japanese acupuncture supplies. Do be sure to visit the sponsors page on the Geological website to take advantage of all the special offers our terrific sponsors have for listeners of the podcast. I want to take a moment and tell you about Jane, my favorite clinic management software and EMR. Whether you're just starting to do your research or you've been contemplating switching your software for a while now, the Jane team understands that the process can feel intimidating. That's why their goal is to provide you with all the onboarding resources you need to make the switch as smooth as possible. Jane offers a personalized call to set up your account, free data import, and a variety of online resources to get you up and running quickly. And if you need a helping hand along the way, you'll have access to unlimited phone, email, and chat support included in your Jane subscription. Interested in learning more? Book a one-on-one demo at jane.app/switch. And if you decide to make the switch, remember to use the code CHEOLOGICAL at signup to receive a one-month grace period on your new Jane account. In 1989, John Scott and Loretta Monda saw a big problem with the Chinese herbs they had access to, as a significant number of imported herbs were adulterated with undisclosed ingredients. They wanted to provide the safest, most effective Chinese herbal products at a fair price, and that's what started the company. Like you, they care about their patients, and they wanted the best for them. Golden Flower Chinese Herbs has traditional formulas along with novel, modern ones to help you treat your patients and family with effective, potent Chinese herbal medicine in tablet form. Have you seen Golden Flower's excellent monographs? You can find them on their website. Take a deep dive and explore Chinese herbal thought, theory, and practice. Golden Flower is a practitioner-founded and operating company crafting solutions for other practitioners. Visit them online at www.gfcherbs.com and enjoy those monographs. I recently had an amazing experience. Lhasa OMS let me try the revolutionary Premio 10 Moxa device by Sedatelic. For people like me who can't tolerate smoke, it's a game changer in Moxa therapy. Crafted with an ergonomic design, the Premio 10 smokelessly generates the heat signature of Moxa. It's not just hot, it's Moxa hot. The patients I've used this with love it. If Moxa smoke is an issue, you'll love this device that supports both stick-like and precise Japanese-style treatments. It's a modern innovation that supports your traditional work. Elevate your practice with the Premio 10. You can get it at lhasaoms.com. And for the next 2 months, get 15% off your entire order using MAX15 at checkout. That's MAX15 at checkout at lhasaoms.com. Offer expires 5/31. Some exclusions apply. Listen into this discussion of Wei Qi, its source, cultivation, and connections with the yang, zheng, fluids, and heart. Let's get into it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this special geological panel on Wei Qi. You know, we learn in school that the Wei Qi, it's a fierce Qi. It's rough. It's coarse. It flows on the outside of the channels, and it's protective of the exterior, that it functions properly and best, actually, when it's connected to the Yin Qi. And, you know, there's formulas that we have, like your Ping Fang San, that are said to strengthen the exterior. But as any herbalist will tell you, it's a certain kind of damp person that works for, right? Yin deficient people, you want to be careful with that. And my experience in our medicine is that often we have these little sayings about how things work, but often enough we're lacking in the specifics. So we can say something like tonify the Wei Qi, but leave out the details of for whom and when we do that. And I've also found in my time practicing that there are things that I think I understand, but as time goes on, or if somebody asks me more specifically, I realize that I'm missing a lot. This is something that I don't understand. And I was having a conversation the other day with a friend about Wei Qi, and it was one of those gobsmack moments of, oh my God, I actually don't understand this very well, and I would like to know it better. And I feel extremely fortunate that I've got this podcast, because I can reach out to so many people and say, hey, I'd love to chat with you a bit about Wei Qi. And so today I am so delighted to bring you Anne Cecil Sturman, Lori Ayres, and Master Wu to have a conversation from three different perspectives, the perspectives of acupuncture with Anne, herbalism with Lori, and with Master Wu to talk about it from the side of Qigong and cultivation. I'm hoping that we can somehow in this conversation triangulate in on and perhaps understand something about the way that might help us in our practices and might help us with our patients. So I'd love to have each of you introduce yourself just briefly, who you are and where you are. This is actually an international conversation. A little bit about your background and maybe a moment in your experience where you got a glimpse of the Wei Qi in a way where, you know, it kind of made you think like, oh, maybe this is what they're talking about when they're talking about Wei Qi, or, oh, I think this is a Wei Qi kind of thing. And, you know, something that illuminated your understanding. And Lori, I'd love to start with you.
Yeah, so thank you, Max. Yeah, so I'm Lori Ayres. I'm a herbalist based in London. I practice exclusively Shanghai-Lun-based herbal medicine, specifically the Tianzang lineage of herbal medicine, which is currently, the current lineage holder is my teacher, Dr. Arnavis Slois, who lives in New Orleans. A bit about my background. I mean, I don't really have one. I started studying Chinese medicine when I was 19. So I kind of finished school, finished my A-levels, didn't really know what I wanted to do at uni, and stumbled into Chinese medicine and just went through sort of regular TCM college at the time. Originally wanted to just study Tuina. That's what I was kind of interested in. But then I thought I may as well study acupuncture. And then towards the end of it, decided I'd add herbs to the mix, because in England generally you learn everything separately, which I think is very different to, say, the States or Australia or so on. But yeah, I thought I'd start to learn herbal medicine. And towards the end of my herbal medicine studies, I started just reading the Shanghai-Lun myself, and I could kind of see there was something in there that was different to what I'd learned at regular Chinese medicine colleges, what I felt was kind of missing from there, an understanding of the mechanism of the body, which I felt was kind of, I wasn't really getting from my regular training. And at that time, I also came into contact with my teacher, Arno. And basically from that moment on, which I think was about roughly 15 years ago, I've basically just been studying pretty exclusively with him in the Tian lineage of Shanghai-Lun. So as a lot of people will probably be aware, the Shanghai-Lun is kind of famous for its use in externally contracted diseases. I mean, again, that's not actually what it's exclusively intended for. It was originally the Shanghan Zarbinglin, so the treatise on cold damage and complex disease. So it's basically a complete system of herbal medicine, which allows you to treat externally contracted disease. And again, not just cold or wind, but any one of the six qi. So wind, cold, dampness, dryness, heat, summer heat. And then also internally engendered complex disease. So, yeah, I mean, it's this idea of wei qi is something which you come into contact with a lot in the Shanghan-Lun. And actually, it's something which I think very early on in my studies in the Shanghan-Lun, you start to realize its importance and how it fits into the sort of greater scheme of physiology. So it's just basically a very, very important aspect of what I do, especially understanding, you know, the guiding formulas of the Shanghan-Lun ones. It's known for things like Guizhitang, especially Ma Huang Tang and so on, are very much concerned with the exterior, the maintenance of physiology of the exterior body temperature, surface body temperature, all of which is part of the functions of Wei Qi. Yeah, so I don't know if there was a specific moment as such where the importance became clear, but just through time, just studying the Shanghan-Lun, especially that perspective, starting with external contraction and diseases progressing inwards, just the importance of Wei Qi, the importance of deregulation of surface physiology becomes very, very important.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's helpful. Master Wu, what about you?
Me? Yeah, my name is Zhongxian Wu. I origin from China, grew up from a fishing village. The time was a remote area of China. No electricity, no pipe water, no bike, neither. Get out of the village, climb over the mountain out. The other side is Pacific Ocean. So that's the place I grew up, and I just had that interesting, when I was little, just had excitement about those mystical culture and see the local shamans treat the patient, can use a needle. One of my neighbor, I have had a strong memory, like, oh, the stomach pain, rolling on the bed, go quick, get that local shaman, came, some needle stick in a few minutes, it seems okay. Kind of like fantastic. And then sometime, your fishing village kids, you know, not like American, we fish no bone. You got to stop by the piece of fish meat. We grew up, whole fish, head to bone. You can give me any kind of fish, toss in my mouth, the head, I can speak out the bone clearly without the meat that we trained from when when we are little. So of course, the bones stick on the throat. So what do? Go to local shaman, some chanting, talisman. Oh, seems it works. So that's kind of interesting, the time when I was little, involved, study, observe, learn. And then, you know, kids, the herb, like when I was little, a lot of things I was sometimes in school, like, well, you just not like sit there, read the textbook. So that's what I learned a lot of herbs when I was little, like local shaman. Say, well, our kids go pick up something. You just go pick up for those people. Then you know, which patient they ask you what kind of herb you pick. You just know. That's how a lot of herbs I learned when I was even before school, before 7 years old. So that's my memory of the time. I just had a little hobby, you know, making well, the qigong cultivation, martial arts, regular education was an engineer. I went to university. At the time I was lucky enough to pass exam, went to university in Xi'an. I actually left my hometown was 15. When I was 15, the time went to boarding school in the city, first time went to city, and I started to teach qigong when I was in university. Actually, time I just my hobby. I never went to Chinese medicine school, study anything about medicine. Never thought about this will be my profession. Qigong and martial arts master, they are professional Chinese medicine doctors, those older school doctors.
At what point did it go from being a hobby to being what you do?
So that's the next point. So that's the part I have been like just learning Chinese medicine And then the time I was an engineer, I was still continuing teaching Qigong. I realized it could help people recover quick. And the herbal medicine formula, help. I also give in China at the time, there's no such licensing. Like needle acupuncture herb, I still use it here. Help people, works well. After time I visited my hometown, actually it was a Hannah Verhoff from the States. He had a summer program in 90s, brought China kind of like a help his summer program teaching. Then later he wanted to develop the Chinese medicine program, incorporated a lot of my teachings in the program, helped develop the program. So he invited me, came over, then got a work visa for me. So I quit my engineer job. Okay, I can quit my job. Came to United States, was 2001. So I left my job in China, came to United States in Portland, Oregon.
Changed one kind of engineering for a different kind of engineering.
Yeah.
Great. And what about you? What tell us a little bit about your background, what brings you to this, and an experience with the Wei Qi that might have been illuminating.
Well, the Wei Qi was utterly fascinating to me when I first heard about it. And my teacher, Dr. Jeffrey Yuen, begins his teaching really talking about Wei Qi as being a qi that is defending the interior and the smooth muscle. And it from there is spawned a lot of discussion. And so it was always a primary feature. But as far as I guess the first treatment I ever did on the sinew channels, which are the conduits of Wei Qi in acupuncture, through an acupuncture lens, I was treating a woman with a really advanced scoliosis, and I was in the school clinic, and I was trying this sinew channel treatment protocol out, and the spine shifted to such a degree that everyone, my fellow students around me, just I had to bring them in to see it, and it was quite astonishing to see that that acupuncture can engage Wei Qi and shift it. And so I guess if you're looking for an experience, it would be the first experience with it.
So that's quite profound. And, you know, so often I think we think of Wei Qi as a defensive kind of qi. It's what protects us or maybe keeps microbes or pathogens or wind or damp or whatever away. But the Wei is also about the exterior. And I heard you just talk about sinew channels and the Wei. And when I think about something like the spine, that's kind of an exterior portion of the body in a Wei.
Well, you know, what you're going to find in this conversation with Master Wu and Laurie is you're going to get three different views of Wei Qi, and all of them are valid and true. There's no contradiction between what each of us is going to say. It's just putting it through a different lens. So Wei Qi viewed through an acupuncture lens sounds different to the listener than Wei Qi viewed through the herbal lens, or Wei Qi viewed through the Qigong Tai Chi lens. And so really what you're doing is, you know, you're assembling a kind of very intelligently curated collection of views.
Well, that's exactly the intention of our time together today, that something like Wei Qi, it's a big topic. And I don't know about you guys, and I don't know about the listeners out there, but so often I find, and I don't know if this is just me personally or if it's kind of a human trait, I like to try to find an answer and nail things down. Then I feel like
good,
I understand
good luck.
It.
Yeah, good
yeah.
Luck,
well,
Michael.
Exactly. Good luck with that. Because what I found is more enlivening questions or more broad points of view tend to be more helpful than nailing down a specific answer.
Well, Master Wu might like to answer that, because I don't claim to be an expert in Taoism, but is not the Taoist view that there is no truth that can be nailed down?
Yeah, for my experience at the time, you know, people, after I moved to the States, I heard more students ask about Wei Qi. And when I was in China's time, seems we like really didn't pay attention to that too much. Like I barely heard my masters talk about that part, you know, when they work with patients at time. And then I started also think about, was that witch about protecting? Everyone talk about, you know, the way, then you look the way, yeah, it's a protect, defense, guardian. And then you look the words for the medicine itself, and even modern the West medicine, the way, you know, when we were in the school time, the study is a basic like biology part, huh? The Chinese words, the way, so you use it for life, because Wei Sheng, you know, you are dirty, get yourself. When we grew up time, there's no such thing. Wash your hands, kids came home. We play outside, drink the water from stream, come home, hey, hungry, what's in the cabinet, grab something, tossing, here's dirty hands, there's no such thing. Then later after high school, people talk about school education. Wisdom, Buddhism, no wisdom means you, this is a way not to protect your life. This is a dirty virus will get you. You need to protect your life. You need to be clean. He has all the antivirus systems. Now what we are doing, coronavirus is always about Wisdom, protect your life. And then you look.
Right. Wisdom meaning hygiene, meaning cleanliness.
Right. So then you look that way, actually the whole cultivation, all the tradition Taoist culture, includes the I Ching or whatever, the astrology. They all talk about what's the I Ching? Sheng sheng wei zi, give birth to life, protect life, that's the I Ching. Oh, it's all about life, protect. So how to protect that way? Defense, guardian, then what's that qi? You know, when from Qigong perspective, you know, we have the external qi, internal qi. External qi is wei qi, protect. Internal is yin qi or zhong qi, whatever, you know, the part. Then you look at what's the differentiation? Just what you see. Sometimes I give the example, you know, just like the people you move around. Now I was in Oregon, I'm Oregonian, moved to New York, became New Yorker. You see in person, the qi, the same qi inside is called the internal qi, as outside external qi is one qi, not a two qi. Just you give the different name. So that's the part. And then how to protect is not about how to defense. That sometimes I use a martial arts part. That it's not about training how to defense, guarding yourself, how to train your own skills. The internal part need to be strong. So that's the whole Chinese medicine emphasizes 正气内存，邪不可干. If you have the 正气 within your body, there's no evil qi could invade you. You don't need to worry about your wei qi. Your wei qi will be strong. It's internal. So first need to build up the internal systems. External will be strong. Just like martial arts wei training. You have a good skill. Doesn't matter what other people use their technique. You the same can deal with them. One is deal with everything. So that's what we choose the method is in the cultivation perspective, the Qigong perspective. Build up your zheng qi, that's it. It doesn't matter what kind of diseases. I don't need to have the different wei qi to defense on different diseases.
Master Wu, I appreciate this perspective. So often here in the West, maybe because we're so used to the idea of an immune system and we're thinking about the outside, we think we have to protect something on the outside or we have to do something on the outside, right? When COVID first came around, everyone's talking about, well, we've got to boost the immunity. Right. And I hear you talking about something, Chinese medicine idea. We don't have this in conventional Western medicine, the idea of the zheng qi, right? That upright internal qi, it's on the inside. It's not about taking care of the outsideness. Well, it's not about only the outside. It's about what comes from the inside. And Laurie, I'm wondering, from your herbal perspective, your thoughts about the Wei and the Zheng, and are there connections that you see from your side?
Yeah, so I'll sort of preface this by agreeing with what Anne said, that we are all coming from different perspectives. And something which happened in Chinese medicine relatively recently in its history was that everything was kind of lumped together. So acupuncture theory, herbal theory is all kind of lumped together, which wasn't how Chinese medicine was originally intended. You know, acupuncture, herbal medicine were different streams, Qigong as well as different streams. So we will have very different perspectives. And as a herbalist, we definitely delve into theory very, very deeply and want very, very clear, cohesive theory, because we don't use the influence of ourselves, you know, as an acupuncturist or a Qigong practitioner would to influence treatment. That's left to the herbs. So we have to understand very, very well how to apply those herbs. So we want that really cohesive theory. And then also, I'd go on to also mirror what Master Wu said, that there aren't different kinds of qi. It is just, it's qi fulfilling different functions, you know. So the way we would kind of understand Wei Qi, and as you said, you know, the kind of relationship between Wei Qi and Zheng Qi, best way I think to approach this, first thing is, from a classical perspective, we're not looking at external pathogens affecting the body. That's a very modern view. We're looking at the external climate having an influence on the body. So when you talk about cold, wind, or so on, these are the six atmospheric qi. They're not physical pathogens as such. It's just the makeup of the climate. And when it is too much for your body to adapt to, that's when you start to become sick. And even at that point, for example, cold doesn't enter the body. Cold deregulates your surface body function. And then from that, any pathological cascade which happens is only your body's function deregulating and unable to regain function. So we're not looking at things entering the body from a classical perspective. We're just looking at the maintenance of body function. And from that perspective, we would see Wei Qi, or defensive Qi, protective, whatever you want to call it. We would basically see it as the warmth that emanates from the blood. And this comes down to, you know, the idea in, is it Ling Shu 18, when it talks about, you know, Tai Yang is concerned with protecting the exterior, or controlling the exterior, tie in with controlling the interior. And then it talks about protective being built from the lower, because that's part of the Tai Yang conformation. The Tai Yang conformation is the most Yang conformation. It's when the body's able to manifest the most Yang at its surface. And that's what it means when it said that Tai Yang opens. It's the biggest opening of Yang, the biggest manifestation of Yang in the body at the surface. It's also said that Tai Yang is rich in blood. So what that means is Tai Yang, proper functional Tai Yang, is the circulation of abundant warm blood below the surface. And the warmth which radiates from that blood is basically then your protective. And that's why I said protective circulates outside the vessels, because it is the warmth which radiates from blood and then is trapped in the body hairs around your surface. So then that's why, you know, it says also that wind damages protective, because what happens when you get a wind strike is that wind hits your surface and disperses that layer of warm air. So you've basically blown away the warm air around your surface. Then your body has to attempt to rewarm the surface by creating fever, by pumping more warm blood to the surface. And that's basically what a fever is. It's the body's response to any damage to surface body temperature. And then it's an attempt to shift warm blood to the surface to then actually rectify that body temperature. So when we talk about, coming back to your question about the relationship between, say, Zheng Qi and Wei Qi, for a start, I never really use the term Zheng Qi. It's just not something I kind of use, but we'd just basically see it as Yang. You know, we'd see that as your body's Yang. And when we look at blood, classically, we look at blood from both functional and material perspective. So if we were to compare qi and blood from a functional perspective, blood is more Yang, qi is more Yin, because blood is the red, warm liquid which ascends to warm all areas of the body. And you see this in Su Wen Chapter 3, where it says that of the Yang qi, the rarefied nourishes the Shen, and the supple nourishes the tendons. So, and what nourishes the tendons is blood. So we see blood as liquid Yang, that thick turbid liquid which is able to carry Yang to the surface of the body. So then we'd basically see strong Zheng Qi, strong upright Qi, as basically strong Yang. And coming back to what Master Wu said, again, there aren't separate Qi. You don't need to worry about tonifying your Wei Qi specifically. What you need to do is build your Yang on the interior. And it's that Yang, when that's strong, that's able to radiate out to the surface. and support correct surface body temperature, which makes you resistant to external atmospheric challenges.
Hi everyone, Anne Cecil Sturman here. I'd like to let you know about the Classical Medicine Academy, a place where students and seasoned practitioners gather to deepen their working knowledge of the complete classical acupuncture and dietary systems. CMA is subscription-based and live online, providing 20 hours per month of question and answer sessions in acupuncture, channel practice, dietary medicine, cultivation and Qigong classes, plus self-paced courses in many subjects, including pulse diagnosis, plus hundreds of hours of archived classes in dietary medicine taught by my husband, Andrew Sturman, plus hundreds of hours of archived classes taught by me, Cody Dodo, and Daniel Post. Join our heart-centered community and bring questions and cases for discussion. You'll be invited to join our private Facebook community group, where over 750 people network to discuss cases and theory with classical practitioners on five continents. Welcome to the Classical Medicine Academy tab on my website, annececilsturman.com. See you there.
Wow. Okay. I just have to put a pin in this one thing. Two things, actually. First of all, blood as liquid yang. Mm. That's the first time I've heard that. Kind of blew my mind here. I can't say I understand it at this point, but you know, it's one of these things where, let me investigate that more in my practice. There's something about that that resonates. It just strikes something in me. Blood is liquid yang. It's got the heat, it's got the fire. And the other thing that you said, again, it flips everything on its upside down from what we learned in school. Blood is more yang, qi is more yin. Okay, that's not what we learned in school. But again, what might we see if we peer through that lens? Mm. So thank you. That's something wonderful to take away and take a look.
So I'll just say, sorry, just from a functional perspective, from the perspective of the functions they perform, blood is more yang, qi is more yin. From a material perspective, you would say blood is more yin, qi is more yang. So I'll just...
So we're differentiating function...
And matter.
And matter. Very helpful. Thank you. And what are your thoughts on this?
Well, through my training, we see things a little bit differently, but it doesn't mean that it's not valid, that nothing else is valid. Let me say that again. What's interesting about these discussions, and I think what's important about them, is that you could have any view at all. You could view any substance any way you like. When you're actually in the treatment room or writing your herbal prescription, it's not about the knowledge that you've accrued anyway. It's about the intention that you exact in that space. So you could have no knowledge at all and still heal by intention. So I just want, you know, as I speak, my piece about the acupuncture lens, I really want the listener to understand that it doesn't matter that the views are different. All that matters is where they have their intention in treatment. And I absolutely love the way that Master Wu described it. He said, well, you know, you don't have to call it Wei Qi, it's just Qi. you're calling it Wei Qi because you want to describe that aspect of the function. And when you tie that to what Laurie was saying about the root of Zheng Qi being yang, through the at least the Jade Purity sect tradition, Wei Qi is seen to be derived from kidney yang. So now I'm dividing it up too into names, but in that tradition, kidney yang is seen to be the root of all yang qi and all yang manifestation. And as the body releases kidney yang up the spine to become wei qi. It exits the spine at du 4 and du 14, at which point that yang qi, that kidney yang qi, becomes wei qi. And the wei qi is very, it almost has an ethereal quality to it, and it infuses the musculature, the sinews, and the smooth muscle as well. So smooth muscle is present in the heart, the small intestine, actually the entire gut, the entire gastrointestinal tract, all that smooth muscle there. The uterus is smooth muscle, the bladder. Anywhere where there's involuntary muscular movement, you have wei qi present, because wei qi doesn't have intelligence. It reacts and it operates in order to move the being forward in time. But there's another sort of magical function to wei qi, and that is that as it emanates from the surface of the body, it acts as a transmitter receiver in a way. I think that's complicated by triple heater, but it's wei qi that allows us to send our intention, and it's wei qi that allows us to capture information or capture a sense of the environment. So it's almost like an ethereal presence.
I had a guest on the podcast a while back who talked about the wei qi as a kind of sensing organ, way out at the periphery, like an early warning sensing system. Senses before your skin senses.
Right, and it's connected to kidney yang for that reason. If there's something, like as Laurie was saying, it sense the environment, and say we are in a cold environment, and we sense it coming, we sense the storm coming, we sense the cold front coming, whatever it is, and we intuit without even thinking, we know that we should move inside or move to shelter. And it's that kidney yang, the origin of wei qi, that enables that movement to happen. So wei qi senses, and then its feedback to its origin, yang qi, creates the impetus to move away from that perceived danger. But I keep on going back to what Master Wu was saying about it all being one qi, and you know, that's the ultimate truth, that we're beings in a world in a seamless sense.
We are beings in a world in a seamless state at a particular level, at a particular perspective. So often the people that come to see us in our clinic are bringing in one part that's having some difficulties. And for me as a practitioner, maybe I just need to do more Qigong and see the unity in things. But for me as a practitioner, I'm often looking at, okay, what is this part that is having trouble, and how's it connected to everything else? In fact, how's it connected to the resources that can heal it? And so I think there's something to being able to name the parts and at the same time have a sense of that unity.
Yes, and that being able to name the parts enables your thinking mind to construct a treatment that makes sense.
Yes.
That's the purpose of that, that the human mind can wrap itself around a diagnosis and construct a treatment. But behind that, the being that is the practitioner is really just communicating to the being that is the patient that all is well.
Okay, so this gets into an interesting area, especially because so often for our patients, all is not well. And often for us as practitioners, all is not well. Good grief, we have people coming into us multiple times a day, bringing us troubles.
That's a question for Master Wu. He'll be able to tell you
all
about
Master
that.
Wu, let's hear about that.
Thank you all for sharing your thoughts. I think it's interesting. Everyone have the interesting thoughts about the topic. So kind of like interesting for myself also. Now I kind of look back when I was in a in my early 20s, more like fighting, this is right, this is wrong. And now in this age, I'm less than everyone. Seems interesting, I have this special part contributed to the concept, you know, the way of the practice and the philosophy and the principle part, you know, we just from the different viewpoint to see the things. And that's the back to the blood, qi and blood, the whole concept of yin yang, you know, as a body and the function. Kind of interesting, like we, from the I Ching prediction perspective, the one famous line I often cited, yin yang sui ni fan fu bian qian, xu wan qian feng yin, xu yi li er guan zi, means yin yang sui ni, yin yang sui go this way or go reverse way, so always change back force, fan fu means back force, endless, create countless of phenomena and objects. So one xiang, 10,000 of phenomena. But you understand one principle, shi yi li er guan zi. You understand that one doesn't matter of what's that yin and yang, what's that phenomenon out there. So that's an interesting part of, you know, when it's the qi and the blood, the body yin yang. That makes sense to me also. Like you go back to the Chinese medicine, you know, very common when you learn the organs, say for example, like a spleen, qi yin er yong yang, the typical, what's the spleen? Spleen body is the yin, but what's the spleen function? Yang, qi yin er yong yang, so body is yin, but need function, need yang, need ascending qi. So body is yin, so the yin yang is there. So that's why we learn yin yang, always yin within yang, yang within yin, the pattern yin yang, always in the two ways. Together, it's not separate, so it's one. So yang within yin, yin within yang. So it depends on which angle you to see the condition, saying the back, the wei qi, the protect qi, like Laura said, you know, the qi yang is the root of the origin of the wei qi. Also makes sense, you know, you metal give birth to water, and the qi is the root of the prenatal life. That's all about. That's what we cultivation with and protect your qi, protect your life, preserve your life. What we preserve about, always about qi. So that's when we do music, play qin by qin. This will click a bit. Little finger is forbidden finger. That's forbidden what? That's your qi energy. That's represents the qi. So that's the whole interesting, like we use in a daily practice art. That's the part. Or connections about you have the preserve, and once you have the strong preserve reservoir within, you don't need to worry about outside. They all connect with the whole external thing. So the one part I want to share, one story is interesting. You know, people always try to looking for excuse. What's external? What's other people cause the problem on me? What's the, why is this weather changing cause? What kind of poison food I eat cause all the disease come to you, try to looking for help, but they often forget why I got it, why other people didn't get it. And you know, the whole, when I was little, I remember the countryside, my brother 2 years older than me. In school, I was always every week, fever, cough, and my memory very strong. Few years, sinus always there, always can't breathe well. I thought maybe that's how everyone like this. Hard to breathe in my nose, always block. And always every week, like fever, few days, oh, getting better. And my brother, same bed, same food, same school. He never ever get fever, never ever get cold. And winter time, my hometown, cold winter, we didn't have heat. And freezing cold, he would like just wear t-shirt, winter ran out, snow play. I would know it, several layers, and I would get sick. He would never get sick. I remember he first time get sick was when he was 14 years old. I told him how to swallow the pill. He like just couldn't swallow. Whole life never taken pill. That's my strong memory. And you know that's why. Because he said just have that strong build up, born with that lucky body. I was just born with that unlucky body. And I saw my cultivation change. Now I'm my body much better than him because I built up my Zheng Qi, but he tried to consume his prenatal life, the Kidney Qi, and I'm built up more. So that's a different, you know, the way you can deal with it. And that's the same thing with the coronavirus thing. You know, we always okay, scared out. In Sweden, like you just have. If I tell what's going on life in Sweden, you know, a lot of people maybe way out of your imagination. Like since coronavirus, I never wear a mask because they don't have the request. Public place, I go to shopping all the time, bus, Tunabona, and we don't worry about it. Like my daughter's school, okay, hey, teacher, yeah, we have the one coronavirus page, just watching your kids. If we have any sickness, don't send them in. Everybody happy, joy is their life, but we have the certain rule we follow, but we didn't like, so freak out. Like we still, so one part I appreciate in Sweden, enjoy the life. We still respect others. We have that certain, you know, the rules, follow the expert guidance. We don't go crazy. But we don't need to freak out. Like, think about it. The coronavirus, just one of those viruses in human history. How many similar coronaviruses have been going on through thousands of years? How people, human beings, deal with it? You have to build your own immune system, make yourself strong. And just like when, just as a whole situation like that, you know, as you have to, like, okay, it's time. How to make yourself strong instead of how to fight back. You know, the way we just have a different way to think and a different way to deal with things. Everyone have their opinion, have their own way of life. The important part I always say, works, that's more important. Whatever your philosophy, your principle, your knowledge, put it in the clinic, patient come to you, help them, works. That's only what we want to see. Didn't work, that means all wrong. That's what I always evaluate, the right or wrong. Go clinic, check the result, worked well, everything is perfect. Didn't work means all is wrong. Doesn't matter which expert, which doctor, which school, which famous people said that, you know, but that's the what we check by the end. So that's the...
Yes, our practices, they are based on clinical results. And so often there's many people they'd like to see, well, show us the Western research that shows that this is effective. Well, it doesn't lend itself quite as easily to our work. Every patient is an N of one study, and the clinical results, they give us clear feedback. If we are treating in a clear, coherent fashion, we'll get clear feedback. Lori, I'm wondering from the herbal side, your thoughts on the cultivation of the interior as a way of strengthening the exterior, as a way of having the body be anti-pathogenic, so to speak. Now, I know there, like I mentioned earlier in the conversation, spoilers like you ping fang san, which many of us learn early on in schooling, that it's good for the wei qi. But I mean, I know I had a very, very adverse reaction to taking that myself, being somewhat yin deficient. That caused me big problems. I learned a lot about when not to use Yu Ping Fang San. I'm not here to talk about Yu Ping Fang San other than to say there's some ideas that we have about how herbs might work. I'd love to get your perspective from your unique Shanghan Lun study that you've done on ways of strengthening the interior, much in the way that Master Wu's been talking.
Yeah. I mean, there are also a few things, because if we're talking about how we view things, you know, differing views just from what kind of An and Master Wu were saying, there are a few differences in the way that our lineage understands theory as well, which kind of leads into that quite nicely. Because if we look at maybe, you know, look at the the most known formula of the Shaolin Lung, which is Gui Zhi Tang, which is a good way of bridging into the subject you've talked about. So one of the things I'll say is that, like, this maybe is a bit of a difference between the sort of classical school that I practice and maybe the theories that Anne and Master Wu talk about, which, unless I'm misunderstanding them, but we would, from a classical perspective, we wouldn't understand the kidneys as a source of yang for the body. That's something that came much later. Classically, the heart is understood as a source of yang for the body. So the fire element is understood as the source of fire for the body. And you see, a number of references throughout the Si Wen, but for example, chapter 10, is it 9 or 10? I always forget, but where it says the heart is the base of life. It is Tai Yang within Yang. It's the biggest Yang within Yang, which then leads into the idea of the generation of Wei Qi from the blood, because the heart is part of the Shaoyin conformation, which is that fire-water balance. That's because as soon as you put the source of Yang on kidneys, you kind of step out of a five-element model, which is kind of fine if your theory is fully cohesive. In that sense, that leads through to your treatment. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a different view. But that's, like I said, that's something which comes much later as people step out of the five-element model. But classically, we look at five elements and six conformations. So when we look at the generation of Wei Qi, we look, as I said before, that is produced from the strong warm blood, the manifestation of warm blood below the surface of the Taiyang conformation. And the Zhong Qi, the balancing Qi within the Taiyang conformation, because Taiyang is cold water of the north, the balancing Qi within that Taiyang conformation is the Shaoyin imperial fire of the south. And that's important, imperial fire of the south, which again is the fire element, the kidneys of the north, the imperial fire, the source of Yang, comes from the south. So it's actually the heart that warms the small intestine, its paired organ within Taiyang, and that's where the kidneys get their yang from a classical perspective. Warm blood is forced down the descending aorta into the small intestine, the lower, and then it's the small intestine, which is the fire organ below earth inside water that supplies the yang for the lower jiao. And that's what later became known as Mingmen. Because again, Mingmen theory is a Qigong theory, which is very useful from a Qigong perspective. But from a medical perspective, that doesn't, again, fit in with Zhang Fu theory, because classical Zhang Fu theory is just five-element theory. So again, if you start to use Mingmen theory, you're stepping outside five-element theory, but you're adding an extra organ, which physically isn't actually there. So what became known as Mingmen is actually all the functions fulfilled by the small intestine. And small intestine is what provides that Shaoyin imperial fire to the Taiyang conformation to warm the bladder and then circulate warm blood below the surface. So to come back to your question about kind of internal cultivation, if you like, this is where Gui Zhi Tang comes in as a very good example, because we often see Gui Zhi Tang as a surface formula, which it actually isn't. Like, we can use the statement that Gui Zhi Tang balances protective and nutritive to extend that to say Gui Zhi Tang balances qi and blood, balances yin and yang. Because if we see yang and blood generating protective from a functional perspective, again, if we come back to the idea of blood as yang functionally, first thing is we're warm-blooded creatures. That's one fundamental thing which we need to remember. The purpose of blood is that blood is a very, very thick, turbid liquid. And the more turbid a liquid is, the more it can hold warmth in it. If you imagine, a thick soup versus water, if you boil both of them, the thick soup will stay warm longer because it's much more turbid. And you see in the Nei Jing, it says, which blood is the most turbid? It says the Han Taiyang small intestine is the most turbid. So that shows it's the most turbid blood to be able to hold on to the maximum amount of yang. And it's that blood which basically keeps your solid organs warm. Now, when your blood is abundant on the interior, it can start to radiate that warmth out. It can fill up your sanjiao. It can generate ministerial fire. A ministerial fire is just the warmth which radiates from your blood or radiates from the heart. Basically, as soon as yang has left the heart, has left the imperial position, it becomes ministerial. It's nothing more complicated than that. There's nothing more complicated or esoteric for ministerial fire than that. It's just fire which has left the heart. So as soon as your blood, and we see this actually in Jingwei chapter 1, where it says basically, the Tuli, the tissue relief, the Sanjiao is infused with blood qi. What that means is the blood in all of the tissues, the blood vessels in all of the tissue walls, which make up the walls of the hollow space of the Sanjiao, just radiate warmth into the Sanjiao. And when that is warm enough, it can radiate out, and it can fill up basically the whole of your body, warm the whole of your body right out to the surface. And that's when you manifest Tai Yang, the big Yang, the Yang at the surface. That's what gives you strong Wei Qi. So coming back to Gui Zhi Tang, we say Gui Zhi Tang, harmonizes nutritive protective. What that means is within Gui Zhi Tang, protective is the coming together of blood and yang to radiate out that warmth. Nutritive is the coming together of qi and yin. Qi is basically the vapor steamed off of fluids. It's basically gaseous water. So there's a little bit of fire infused within water, creating a mist, and that is qi. And qi is just ministerial fire. It's just a little fire produced from the big fire of the heart contained within earth nutritive. So by regulating nutritive and protective, you're regulating yin and yang, qi and blood. So Guizhetang uses Guizhe to as a pungent flavor to tonify the wood element. Because remember, pungent tonifies wood. It tonifies wood to fan strong heart fire on top, to produce a strong heartbeat, to force warm blood down to the small intestine, to then warm the Tai Yin bladder, to circulate that blood beneath the surface. And that's why Ling Shi, 18, I think, says protective is built at the lower. Now, along with that, you have Dazhao, which in the Tang Ye Jing is in the mutual containment of the five elements, is seen as the fire herb of the earth class. It's a sweet herb, so it tonifies earth, but specifically to influence fire. So it tonifies, that turbid of the clear that's lifted from the center to fill the blood vessels, and that's what thickens the blood, enabling it to hold on to that massive amount of yang that's tonified by Guizhe. So then it can be circulated to the surface. And then Ganzhou as well, Guizhe Ganzhou gives you that sweet, pungent unit to transform yang. As Neijing chapter 74 says, sweet and pungent transforms yang. And Guizhe Ganzhou is the basic unit to strengthen the heart on top. That's the basic unit around which all of the Shaolin learning is built. So that's building the yang and blood aspects of the body. And then you would see the Shengjiang Baishao, which builds the nutritive aspects of the body. So Shengjiang Baishao, often people talk about the Guizhe Baishao pair and Guizhe Tang being the important one. It's not. It's the Shengjiang Baishao, which is important for promoting sweating, and then Guizhe Ganzhou, which is important for promoting yang. Because the herb that promotes a sweat in Guizhe Tang is Shengjiang. It's not Guizhe. Guizhe does not promote a sweat. It treats sweating. Sweating is damage to yang, because the purpose of sweating is to cool you down. So excessive sweating damages yang, and that's why Guizhe, high Guizhe forms are used in the treatment of so many patterns which have been brought about by excessive sweating. You see it repeatedly throughout the Shaolin Learning. And actually, the Shaolin Ben Cao Jing quite clearly states that Jinja Jiang promotes sweating. So it's Shengjiang. And again, this is maybe a bit of a difference where Master Wu was saying about the spleen lifting. From our perspective, it is the wood, wood's control of earth, which lifts the spleen. And Shengjiang is a pungent herb. In the Tang Ye Jing, it's seen as the pungent earth herb of the wood class. It tonifies wood to influence earth. So that basically promotes the dispersal of wood onto earth, dispersing fluids away from the center to promote a sweat. And then it's the Baishao that kind of seals that in the surface to then, lock to stop the excessive sweating. So that's what builds the surface nutritive. And this then comes back to that idea that there's always that debate about protective. Does it come from the lower or does it come from the lungs in the upper? That's always a discussion that comes up, and I'm sure we'd get to it at some point, because it's always a debate. There's one school which says protective comes from the lungs, another school which says protective comes from the lower. Actually, that's the Tai Yin, Tai Yang discussion, and it's not one or the other. It's that Tai Yang is the functional aspect of protective. It is the radiation of the warmth at the surface, which is actually the key thing of protective. But then Tai Yin is the function, is the material surface. It's the skin, the tissues, and so on, which make up the surface. And it's the fluid circulated below the surface, which actually keeps that warmth in and stops it from floating out. So when it said that protective circulates, in the skin and in the gaps between the partings between the flesh, that skin and flesh is Tai Yin. And remember, Tai Yin tissue, lung tissue, is where the 100 vessels converge. Those vessels, those blood vessels, are the blood vessels which carry that Tai Yang blood and from which that warmth radiates. So does protect, is protective governed by the lungs, or does it come from the lower and so on? Well, the warmth of the protective comes from the lower because it's built from the Tai Yang bladder. But the physical surface around which the protective moves and the fluids in the surface are then actually Tai Yin. So Guizhe Tang fulfills that perfectly by building both the functional material aspects of the blood and by building the nutritive and helping sort of open Tai Yin through the Shengjiang, but sealing the surface so there's not too much sweat lost through the Baishao.
The Taixin is a gentle and effective tool for treating patients without inserting acupuncture needles. Using a Taixin causes no pain or discomfort, allowing practitioners to treat even the most sensitive of people. Using the Taixin invites practitioners to evolve senses and dormant capacities. Humans are capable of great subtlety, far greater than we often believe. Working with the Teixin compels us to confront many of our assumptions about what makes acupuncture effective. This exciting journey of self-discovery helps practitioners to refocus how they practice acupuncture. If you'd like to dig in deeper, check out episode 303, where I talk about all things Teixin with Dr. Bob Quinn. Blue Poppy carries a series of handcrafted Teixins created by a silversmith cooperative in San Pancho, Mexico. They also offer many videos on their YouTube channel, which provides basic instruction on how to use a Teixin and other non-insertive tools that they carry. Dr. Bob Quinn's best-selling book on how to effectively use the Teixin is also available. Visit www.bluepoppy.com for Teixins and other fine Japanese acupuncture tools. I'm going to stick a pin in this for just a moment, because holy smokes, we just got a masterclass in Guizhuang. You know, I've often thought about it as this like gentle harmonizing formula. And what I'm sitting with here right now is this is a powerful way of tonifying the yang through the heart, which then goes down through the small intestine to warm the kidney, the imperial fire of the kidney, through the mingmen.
Well, the small intestine is mingmen.
Mingmen with small intestine is like a pet project I've had for years. We should probably come back for another conversation, because I could go on about that, or I'd love to go on with about that at another time. But I just want to take a moment here to recognize the power of something. First formula of the Shanghan Lun. There's more pages devoted to Guizhuang than to anything else. And here it is. This phenomenal formula that can help do with herbs what Master Wu was talking about with Qigong. And Anne, I'd like to get your thoughts on all this as
well. Well, first, I want to be absolutely clear. When I say kidneys, I'm just making it convenient for the listener. And Laurie is quite right that the attributing of functions to organ names like that began in the Song Dynasty, and in the classical tradition, he's quite right. We don't speak of the organs in such a way. But in the Jade Purity sect, as the region, if you want to put it, to remove the word kidneys, and you're left with the life gate, at, you know, which is defined as being directly behind the navel, right, the area just behind the spine, directly behind the navel, that the idea is that yang qi, which originates in the body prenatally as half gift from the parents and half imbued by heaven at the moment of conception. And so as we live life, that yang qi is moved through, and I'm not going to say the word kidneys now, but because Laurie's quite right, but that yang qi is activated and it nourishes the heart yang, and the heart yang in turn nourishes that yang at the kidney level, at the constitutional level. And it's this communication, this circular communication of heart and kidney communication that enables that movement of yang qi to become wei qi at du four, at mingmen, and at du 14. And the function of the involvement of the heart is that any movement that is made with the musculature, which is informed by wei qi, is in turn informed by the qi of the heart, which contains the seeds of destiny. So if you leaned over right now and you picked up your coffee cup, you hope you're not drinking coffee. Let's say you're drinking, I'm drinking tea myself, but let's say, so you set your sight on the cup and you move your hand and you pick up that cup and you bring it toward you. That's a very complex set of movements that's organized by Wei Qi. And every intention that you have, which is heart-centered, all intention is heart-centered unless it's interfered with by the mind. Every movement that you make is guided by that. And the idea of the Shanghanlung, from my perspective, is that 70% of that book is based on the treatment of the Taiyang condition, which, as I learned it, is the resistance to change. So you're being guided to move in a certain way, and the mind says, the human mind says, no, you can't do that. And that interferes with the sinews, and it interferes with the Taiyang sinew, because the mind is trying to defend against destiny. So we're being guided to do something, the mind interferes with it, and that causes tension in the musculature. So Wei Qi becomes congested as it tries to override that control of the mind. And that's where the injuries set in. Injuries are viewed in ancient medicine as being indicators of resistance to change when we can't identify that there was an actual injury. I'm interested in what Master Wu has to say about this.
I think from my observation in through my kind of like a teaching, I kind work with a lot of Chinese medicine practitioner students. One part, I think, just my personal observation, opinion, a lot of people study classical Chinese medicine. So one part, I think, is a big problem part. No distinguish between organ and meridians, especially with Shanghanlin people. Six confirmation is about the meridian systems. Just like what's the that energy same as the cosmology, the change. I do seasonal cosmology prediction, weather changes, same as our body, the whole transformation. Not equal to organ. So kidney not equal to kidney meridian not equal to kidney organ. But a lot of those classical practitioners nowadays equal. Meridian equal to organ. Meridian equal to organ is a bigger problem. I see that. So that's why I emphasize it. Doesn't matter which classical formula, how you use it in the clinic, works or not. That's what I always emphasize. If it didn't work, it means you're wrong. I, through my own self, through my friends in China, in the States, or people use it. If you use it right, should be works very quick. See, for example, high fever, you go to see regular doctor, take a pill, whatever, take several days, fever come down. If you use a formula right, I see a lot of kids overnight recovered. So high fever. If you use a formula, whatever, it doesn't matter how classical you are, the formula didn't work, means you're wrong. That's what I see the standards, because I came from the time I studied with my master, Chinese med doctor, my friends, a lot of my Chinese medicine friends practice, and how I see the result. And the some part is, you know, the same like the symptom could be totally different, just like Michael said, you know, Ping Hong Sam for him didn't work. Program. So every individual is different. So neither like look at what's the reality. So the fire part, what I see is not only Qigong perspective, Chinese medicine, classical Chinese medicine perspective, the basic principle, use the 2 trigram, Kan Li, water fire, Kan water, Li fire. Kan Li Shan Jiao, Sui Hu Qi Ji, Kan and Li need to cooperate together. The hard fire, where is the true hard fire? Where's hard fire from? In the kidney. So in the converter, that young line in the middle part, that's the rooted here, the root is here. So the water and the fire need to work together. So the time in China, you know, I have been studying, never been through school, but I have been studying with my master's, read a lot of classics in Chinese. I don't read the English book. People ask me English version, any recommendation? No, I never read classics in in English. I always back to the Chinese. The whole principle is about the how to work this fire together. And that's the important part, you know. If you are only superficial part, see the fire excess, try to reduce fire, could cause problem. If you super fire, see the fire deficiency, tonify fire, could cause a big problem. So in clinical part, you need to really care for what kind of condition, how you work with it. That's very important. That's what I want to give all your friends. Just when you use it at the time, you know, need to be careful with the what you use and look at the clinical, the reality, how to apply the classic in the modern days. In reality, just like I teach I Ching, we try grams there, it's principle, it's one principle. But ancient time people don't talk about electricity. How can I interpret? Still interpret. I need to find what's the common thing, how fit in the reality. So that's all about the same thing with medicine. You need like how to use it in the reality in the modern day's life. And every case is different, every people is different, like just Michael said, you know. Tell me the clinical, the scientific research background. Well, it's different. Yes, we are background research is reality clinical proof. We are not by, this is how many cases. Each individual person is different. Just coronavirus, the same thing. My daughter brought the virus home from school. She overnight recovered without any medicine, fast. My wife got from her, like, oh, 3 days, painful, couldn't move. I was purposely trying to get the virus. Okay, I need to transform those virus. My wife was sick, I feed her, her bowl was all, need to protect life, washing, kill the virus. No, I use her bowl, she's just still sick, I use her bowl, eat it. No, you know, wash it. I want to get a virus. I use it to eat, use it to living in the same room. What? I didn't get sick next day. So you cannot go, maybe you didn't show up, test after a few days. I didn't get it. So everyone is different. You cannot just say, this. Every individual is different. So it doesn't mean virus is not there. I didn't get it. Doesn't mean virus is not there. Virus is there. Just I was lucky. I tried to get it. Try hard to get it. Didn't get it. So that everyone different.
Well, maybe you did have it. Perhaps you did have it, but your system just
I always took care of it. Transform. Well, like what we do my shots. You punch me, I have to take your energy between mine. So virus is the same thing, how to protect yourself. Transform between your immune system. That's become your protector witchy. So that's the same thing. It's a transforming. It's a part, everyone different, you know. So I did a test, try again after all the crazy same test. No, I didn't carry any virus. Okay, I don't bring the virus go to other people. I went outside, always testing first and make sure I don't carry, no symptom carry, could cause a problem to others. We also follow the Swedish rule, response to others, make sure you don't carry, walk around.
So again, I am struck. This is something I've loved about East Asian medicine since I began to study it. And this conversation today and so many conversations I've had, this theme keeps coming through that we are all individual, we're all different. Whatever we're doing with our patients is unique to them. And yet I have a Western mind. Many of us have Western minds. And it's very hard to get away from that idea of, well, the medicine should work for everybody in a similar way. Our medicine is the exact opposite of that, in that we're looking at very unique situations, very unique people, environments, strengths, weaknesses. And to make it even more interesting, if you've been following along with this conversation today and listening to what all of our panelists have had to say, we've got these different ways of thinking about and working with fundamental principles that all can be very, very useful.
Well, you know, when you're talking about Wei Qi and individualized diagnoses in acupuncture, the sinew channels, the conduits of Wei Qi, are they must be diagnosed in a very individual way. For example, if a person has difficulty extending, so if they have difficulty rising to a sitting position or stretching their arms out or stretching their head back, we say that the wind cold is trapped in the Tai Yang sinews. If the person has difficulty on rotation, and I mean when the most difficult movement is difficulty rotating the neck or rotating the arms or rotating the hips, we say it's in the Shaoyin sinews, gallbladder or triple heater sinews. Shaoyang sinews, gallbladder or triple heater sinews. If they have difficulty bending over or holding weight or suddenly coming to a stop, bearing weight, we say that the wind cold is trapped in the yang ming sinews, so the stomach and large intestine sinews. If they have difficulty drawing their hands and feet toward their torso, if that's the most difficult movement, we say that the wind cold is trapped in the Tai Yin sinews, spleen or lung sinews. If they have difficulty rotating a bent limb, so like pouring tea or putting a foot on the other, on the opposite thigh, you know, then we say that the wind cold is trapped in the Shao Yin sinews, so the heart and kidney sinews. And if the person is utterly paralyzed or they have pain all over the body, we say it is trapped in the Jue Yin sinews, the liver sinew and the pericardium sinew. And if that movement assessment, you're talking about individualized diagnoses, if that assessment is not done and we only treat where the pain is evident, then the situation is not resolved. So Wei Qi can be trapped anywhere in an individual and manifest, the injury may manifest in a different location. So what you're saying is absolutely right in acupuncture too.
Yeah, I mean, there's this is just one thing I kind of wanted to reply to on. So when you were saying, Master Wu, that six conformations are just a channel system, first important thing to understand, it's not the Shanghan Lin, it's the Shanghan Zha Bing Lin. So it's not just a treatise on cold damage, it's a treatise on cold damage and complex disease or miscellaneous disease, and that was divided up. So there was never that separation originally. And yes, the six conformations are a channel-based system because they're to do with the interaction with the external environment. But underlying the function of a conformation is the organ, because a channel is just the external manifestation of that organ.
Yeah, I know that part. I know that they have the Yu Jing Zheng, Yu Fu Zheng, have the Qing Syndrome, has Fu Syndrome, has the Meridian Syndrome, and organ syndrome. But nowadays, I don't see very common people distinguish it. And a lot of time, I just see people equal. When even just school system learn the Chinese 12 meridian system, because I have the 12 animal books there. Often I got email, you know, like, why is a tiger? Talk about it. Tiger is lung. Why is tiger lung? I'm study from school. So tiger is animal is not lung. That was a gallbladder. So that's then confused. Then
yeah,
it's all the reason is no distinguish between what I'm talking about. The same tiger could be lung, could be gallbladder, could be gallbladder. You know, the lung meridians depends on what I'm talking. I'm talking about organs, the spirit of the lung, or I'm talking about the 12 animal signs, that part related with that 12 animal signs of time also have the organ and the meridian relationship part. So that's all the difference. It's time. I'm talking about 12 animals that tag on, talking about five organ systems, the five elements of spirit animal. So that's not no distinguish. That's what I mean. That very common part nowadays, the school education, like just simplifies, make it more science, poetic, so beautiful with Chinese medicine. Yes, Chinese medicine is beautiful, but not that simple, much more than that. Just we use all the 12 meridian systems, so beautiful time, equal to organs. That's what I see very common.
Yeah, that's, I would agree with that.
Problem. I mean, you apply that when often people in the sun having the same organ and the meridian, they no distinguish. See, the classic itself is very clear, distinguish, jingzheng, fuzheng. The syndrome was the problem. These are problems, is the organ problem or meridian problem. So they are very clear, distinguish. So missed that part, then everyone took out, I'm the classic, you know.
So yeah, that's where I would agree. Yeah, I would agree that definitely nowadays, and this is kind of what I said at the start, the problem is originally herbal theory, acupuncture, the root is the same, but when it branches out into understanding specifics of treatment, it does actually differ quite profoundly. And that's will be lumped together now. And this is where you do see a problem nowadays where people lump organ function and channel function together. And, you know, you really see this in acupuncture nowadays where they think the gallbladder channel is the same thing as the gallbladder organ and so on, which I'd agree there. Right. Like the diagnosing channel problems is a very, very different thing to diagnosing organ problems, which comes back to what you say, Anne, with a very specific thing about sinew meridians. That's very specific, I'd assume, to the actual sinew meridians. And that, again, is a very unique thing to acupuncture, which then wouldn't be done necessarily in a herbal protocol or so on. But when it comes to the actual understanding of the six conformation system, the function of a conformation is underlined by the organ of it, because it is the external expression of the organs, how the organ interacts with the outside world. So, for example, the Tai Yang conformation is the external expression, and its function is underlied by the functions of the small intestine bladder organ. But that is not to say that you are, that it's a Tai Yang bladder organ problem necessarily when you're treating the Tai Yang conformation. Because if you're talking about actual specific internal organ problems, then yes, you get into the Jingwei, which was the Zabing portion of the Shangan Zabing Lun, which, like I say, you know, it was never originally divided, it was all one text. And that's where you do actually shift to a five element model rather than a six conformation model, because six conformation model is much more simplex, much more acute, and much more equipped to deal with external strikes and acute diseases. Whereas for internally engendered diseases, that's when you shift to a five element model, because five element theory is classical Zhang Fu theory. So yeah, in that sense, I would agree with you that they are a channel pathology is a different thing to an organ pathology. So I think maybe we've just kind of misinterpreted what each other was saying here, but yeah, I mean, the conformations are not something separate to organs. They encompass the organs in that the organ underlies the function of the actual conformation.
Yeah, agree. No organ, no meridian. That's sometimes I use the example. So organ just like a big city, so meridian just like the avenue. You know, Oregon Avenue.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You must have that organ there, you have that.
Yeah.
That
and this is
there. The same thing, yeah. And that's how the meridian, of course, you know, that's how it affects the whole, like modern days, I use a transport system, internet system. You can affect the whole city, now affect the whole group. That's the whole system. That's the whole connection. That's very important. One part of the coronavirus time, the one part of the whole transport program caused the whole bigger problem. The same thing with your organ part as well. So connection, different organ, different meridian system, different connection. Where has a problem? Of course, will affect whole organ. The main part, yes, you're right, is a fundamental still is a whole part of the organ.
Yeah. And I'd actually say, like, this brings us around. Oh, sorry. I was just going to bring it back to Wei Qi.
I really appreciate this conversation because we're getting into some very interesting specifics. And one of the things that I've noticed with myself is that we'll often use organs, we'll talk about organs as a kind of shorthand. And maybe we're meaning organs, and maybe we're meaning channels, and maybe we're meaning something about function, but we use it as a kind of shorthand. We fall into this five phase thinking. We talk about the lung, or we talk about the heart, and we think we know what we're talking about. And we think the people that we're talking to in our profession know what we're talking about, because we have a similar language that we all share. And we think because there's 2,000 plus years of history that we're connected to this and we get it. And yet there's all this incredible nuance that can go on as well. It's so easy, speaking for myself, to think that I understand something, but I'm really only getting a piece of it. And I'm not necessarily understanding some of the deeper nuances. And so I'm deeply grateful to all of you today for this conversation, because it really has me questioning some of what I thought. And beyond that, I've got some new ways of thinking about Wei Qi. We're getting to a point where we need to start winding this down. Although it'd be great to go for another 6 hours or so, but you know, with time zones and everything, that's a little bit difficult.
Can I just interject one little thing, talking about organ and organ function and channel function? And if you wind back the clock into the Shang dynasty, so we're talking about between 10,000 years ago and like 8,000 years ago, in that period of time, there were no channels acknowledged. The channels didn't have any points, but not only did they not have any points, they were ethereal emanations from the organs. And treatment, shamanic treatment, was about casting intention over those emanations from the organs and relieving them of their blockages. So, you know, one of the functions of my organization is to try to unravel the overthinking and bring acupuncture back. And what we're working toward ultimately is to bring acupuncture back to pre-channel and to conduct healing in that state where the intellect doesn't engage in the tangled thinking that creates a blockage between the intention of the practitioner and the activation of the treatment.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's what I call this, is a back to the internet world at the time, spiritual world. Now we are internet world, the spiritual world, the physical matter, but we are the medicine is the reverse way. Ancient times in the spiritual internet world, later developed to a acupuncture meridian systems, that what I see, that's the industrial revolution time, build a highway part, and more down the back to the now the most practice back to physical level, back to all the prehistoric times of move. Human evolution goes this way, but acupuncture medicine seems to go the other way around. That's sometimes I talk. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Back to that prehistoric time, yeah. Back to the spiritual level of practice.
Yes, we have to get back there, because the overthinking, it just creates a lot of noise in the room.
Laurie, any closing thoughts on your part?
Yeah, no, it's just been very, very interesting just to see how, again, I think it's a very good selection to look at, you know, acupuncturist, Qigong practitioner, and herbalist, because, and people who do them as in their sort of purest form, like almost like a pure acupuncturist who practices acupuncture as acupuncturist in working on the channel system, rather than the modern kind of TCM based acupuncture where, you know, you think sticking a needle in gallbladder 34s. Treating the gallbladder organ or something, you know, rather than doing that kind of thing, it's somebody who actually practices acupuncture, understanding how you're working with the physical structure body, and also the same with the Qigong practitioner, because we're all coming at it from very, very different angles. So I think it's been very, very interesting also looking at how we approach different ways in which we approach theory and understanding of theory and so on. Just working with those three different strands of Chinese medicine has been a very, very interesting kind of collection of ideas about how we address this topic.
Great, thank you. And or Master Wu, any final thoughts on your part before we say goodbye for today?
I want to leave the last word to Master Wu, but so I'll interject now again. And there are a couple of things that weren't covered, and one is the nourishment of Wei Qi. So in our tradition, we understand Wei Qi to be derived from stomach fluids, or if I remove the word stomach, fluids in the middle jowl, and that those fluids are divided into pure and impure and turbine and thick fluids and, you know, various classes of fluids. And so when people have problems with Wei Qi, meaning they have stiffness or they have some kind of contraction or some kind of illness that's not being resolved, it's very important that the person become properly hydrated with food-based fluids, in other words, wet foods, soups and stews and congee. Very, very important. And I think that discussion wouldn't be complete without a mention of that.
Food-based fluids. Yes. No, I get it. So often we hear people talk about, I'm using air quotes here, hydration here in the West, and that means drinking some inordinate amount of water. I get it. I've got problems with too much water as well, especially for people who already can't process the dang water. So food-based fluids, wow. That, if there's anything that we might be able to do to help many, many people in our world that don't understand our medicine, it might be to help them understand more food-based fluids. What a great and an easy and delicious way to help people with Wei Qi.
Yeah. And my husband's books are about that subject.
Master Wu, any closing thoughts on your side?
Thank you all, and nice to meet you all. And back to my beginning part, so Zheng Qi is all about the witch, is all about Zheng Qi. Zheng, what I often interpret as a crack. Applied also means correct, not wrong. Qigong is zheng, zheng sheng, zhe qi zheng. Once you apply the posture, your qi is zheng, you zheng qi, then you are great, protect. And that is zheng correct, not just a posture. That posture is about mind, go back to the spirit, your attitude, correct method, correct attitude, correct way to deal with it. And I hope, you know, there's so many different methods we could use. There's no one way. So everyone could find their own correct method. Keep yourself healthy, strong Wei Qi. That's good for practitioner. We have the strong Wei Qi. Protect yourself, help patients. Patients get a strong Wei Qi, you will get recover quick. So we all need to find correct method. That's important. Correct attitude. Okay, thank you all.
Everybody, again, thank you so much. All of you that have been listening, thank you for your time and attention. Hope that you have found this amazingly diverse and wide-ranging conversation on Wei Qi to be helpful to you in your understanding and in your practice and in your work with patients. Everybody, thanks so much for your time today. It's been really an honor to sit with all of you, and absolutely delicious in a food-based fluids, blood, heart way to be able to share this understanding that we have with each other. So thank you all so very, very much. There is so much in this discussion today. For me, the essential role of the yang qi and the fluids, coarse fluids at that, along with the distinctions between function and form, and the wider perspectives on the use of guizhitang, not just to harmonize the yin and the wei, but to generate yang in fluid. It's all given me a lot to think about. And with the discussion of the zheng qi, it once again reminds me that our medicine is not used like conventional medicine to focus on one aspect of our physiology, but rather to strengthen and harmonize the entire body-mind. I'm so appreciative to the guests on today's panel, and I hope that you have found this discussion to bring some new light to your thoughts about Wei Qi. Thanks as always for listening. If you liked this conversation, if you learned something new or found a moment of inspired insight, share the episode with your friends. If you want to support Geological, there's just one way to do that. It's by going to the website and becoming a member or leaving a one-time contribution today. Well, folks, that's it for today. Join us again next Tuesday for another conversation that connects up the voices of our community.